This is an ABC podcast.
Salo falava. I'm Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina von Reiki, and I'm inviting you to join me on a journey through the evolution of our Pacific cultures on Culture Compass. We'll meet incredible people dedicated to preserving traditions while adapting them for today's world. Join me as we travel the Pacific to celebrate our resilience, revival, and deep-rooted connection.
Search for Culture Compass wherever you get your podcasts to listen.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field, the sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Hello and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name's Declan Byrne. I'm usually lurking in the background producing this show and Nation Footy here on Radio Australia, but Sam Wax is off today, so it's the old next man up attitude, as Sammy would probably say. And look, I'm not going to come in here and shake anything up. So as per usual on Fresh Off the Field, we'll be joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific. Each co-host will share the latest local sports news in the island. So let's get them in today. My first co-host, a PNG journo and media manager for PNG Football, Patricia Kiamo. Hello, Patricia.
Hi, Declan. So great to be back on the show.
It's always good to have you on. You were there for, what, our first, our 50th, our 100th, and now we continue on. Hey, I wanted to ask you, because you've recently left sort of journalism, used to work at the National and cover so much sport for the PNG media there, but now you're in PNG football. How have you found that transition out of news and into this side of things?
Honestly, it's been a rocky transition. Like, I got used to just, you know, reporting, and now transitioning into that space, it's a bit of a challenge, but I love football. That's where my heart is, so I'm loving everything.
And do you miss the news, though? Do you miss covering, you know, all the different sports like we do here?
Yeah, I do. I miss it. So I'm glad I get to come here and talk about other sports apart from football. So that's a plus for me.
Nice one. All right, let's get in our other co-host. She's our all-rounder, radio, TV, footy. And look, I say our hosts are joining us from across the Pacific. We've gone far across oceans for this next guest. She's in the UK. She's been at the Women's Rugby World Cup with the Fijiana team and with Fiji Rugby. Bulla Leilani Burns.
Hey, Bulavanaka Declan and Patricia, always an honour to be back on Fresh of the Field with you both.
I think this is the furthest we've had a co-host from. You are like 15,000 kilometres away from the Pacific right now.
I may be so far, but we've got some amazing athletes that have been representing us out here at the Rugby World Cup. So cannot wait to share all the details of the great things that they've been doing out here for the Pacific.
Yeah, I know we'll get into it a bit more later on the show, but give us one quick highlight so far from your trip covering rugby, the World Cup, the Women's World Cup in the UK.
Okay, so one of the biggest highlights for me is, of course, Fijiana just over the weekend played against Wales. Now, Wales is one of the Six Nations team, and Fiji was ranked 14th on the ladder. Now, playing against Wales was fantastic because it's the first time ever in history we have beat Wales. And to make it even more sweeter, the head coach of the Fijiana women's rugby team is the former head coach of Wales. So it was a nice little cherry on the top of the cake for us.
That is so good. All right, we'll get more into that World Cup. In fact, speaking of it, we'll hear from one of the Fijiana players, Betila Tawake, right after getting their first win at the Rugby World Cup over the weekend.
From here on, I think there's a brighter future for women's rugby in Fiji. And if we get more Northern Hemisphere tests with us and our experiences coming in, we can be top 10 in the world, or we can be top 6 or top 5.
Big dreams right there off the back of that win. There's also a chat with Hikari FC GM Wirawama, chatting about their place in the OFC Pro League and more.
But I think it's going to change the mindset of those generation. And they're the one who going to, I think they're the key players for this Pro League.
There's also news in the world of football, cricket, boxing, squash, netball, and of course our usual trivia and games. So let's get into it.
Fresh off the field. Sporting Pulse of the Pacific, ABC Radio Australia.
On Fresh Off the Field today, you're going to hear sports stories galore, but at the top of the show, we always start big. So let's see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
Yes, the Coconut Wireless is where we talk about the biggest story in your town, the sport, event, athlete, whatever it is, it has everyone talking. And if it's making wave, it'll be right here on the Coconut Wireless. Patricia, let's start in PNG. What have you got for us?
Yeah, so this week, the biggest trending news here in Papua New Guinea is in the sport of boxing. So the Oceania Boxing Championship is coming up in Tahiti. And unfortunately for two national boxing champions from Bougainville, differences over funding availability are threatening their participation in the championship. Now, both athletes are scheduled to leave PNG with the elite boxing team on, today for the championship in Tahiti. However, their participation hinges on raising 24,200 kina to cover travel and associated costs. And the PNG Boxing Union has appealed to Bougainville business houses as well as their leaders, including the regional member of parliament, Peter Tiamalili, for financial support to cover the two athletes' airfares, accommodation, and everything else they need for the championship. Now, questions are being raised on the boxing union asking the two athletes to cover 24,000 each, while the rest of the PNG elite boxing team are not being asked to come up with the same amount of money to cover their costs associated with traveling and participating. The rest of the boxers have the cost of their travel and participation being met by the boxing union, while only these two Bougainville boxers have been asked to seek funding from their regional MP as well as business houses. So a lot of talks going on about, you know, how unfair it is that only those two Bougainville boxers are being asked to come up with the money. And, you know, people are talking about why the union has not, you know, reached out to secure sponsorship from, you know, business houses or wherever they could to support these boxers. Because at the end of the day, they are not going as Bougainville boxers, but under the PNG elite boxing team. So it's not fair to them. And I believe their regional MP as well as the Bougainville business houses have raised similar concerns as well. So the PNG boxing team is scheduled to travel today to Tahiti. And it is unclear at the moment as to whether these two boxers, that's Fidelis Laya and Petronella Nokenokia, they're both gold medalist boxers for PNG. They've done well at the 2023 Pacific Games. So a lot at stake right now. We're not sure if they are traveling. Nothing's come out clear yet, but this is what's been trending this week.
Wow, that's so frustrating. Feels like a bit of a double standard, right?
Yeah. And it's even worse because they're being asked to secure funding to cover their travel, and the funding has to be paid to the boxing union's, PNG Boxing Union's bank account. So a lot of questions being raised on that as well.
Okay, well, let's hope that that can get sorted and they can get to that bout. Leilani, I believe we're sticking with boxing. What's the talk of the town in Fiji?
That's right, Declan. There was absolute heartbreak this week as Fiji's Jasmine Dalnakamakama was barred from competing in the Men's and Women's Elite World Boxing Championship, all for failing to meet the genetic sex test deadline. Dalnakamakama was poised to be Fiji's first ever female boxer to compete at this prestigious event. And this event is currently being taking place here in England. And it's the first time ever we're seeing both men and women competing for a world title at the same competition. This, no doubt, would have been a great step forward for women's boxing, but the whole championship has now been overshadowed by what I'm dubbing the sex test fiasco. Now, why is it a fiasco? Because not only is Fiji's Dalnakamakama being barred by not getting her results in on time, but 12 female boxers in total from five nations, including France, Nigeria, the Philippines, and the Dominican Republic, has also shared her same fate. These 12 athletes, who have all been just training super hard to be able to compete in this event, are all currently in the UK ready to go and only received this devastating news just days before they were scheduled to jump into the ring. So how did we get to this point? According to Dalnakamakama's camp, all of the athletes were advised on the 22nd of July that they would be required to provide these results of the tests. But considering that these tests are not readily available in smaller countries just like Fiji, and under the recommendation that was given to them by the World Boxing Association, the required test was done in Leeds upon arrival into the UK. So with this advice, all of the 12 athletes did just that. They went across after their arrival into the UK, got their testing done, and they were assured that they would have the results of these tests within 48 hours. But as it happens, the results were late, and unfortunately this saw Dal Nakamakama and the other female boxers trapped by the advice that was given to them by the World Boxing Association and banned from competing. So the question now is Dal Nakamakama and these athletes subject to the bureaucratic failure and a policy that was communicated a little bit too late? Well, that's up for you to decide. But one thing is definitely for certain, however, is that there is a significant setback now faced by these nations that's not just affecting them, but they're affecting their female programs and, of course, demotivating these boxers. So what the other point is here, what is truly heartbreaking for me when I heard about this story, is that the athletes did receive their results, but the results came in one day too late. The competition draw was already done, and so that means they missed the boat to be able to compete. So for now, all they're doing is sitting by the sidelines and cheering on their fellow countrymen as they compete.
Wow. And we just heard from Patricia about, you know, the cost of these sort of events to the athlete and to the boxing associations. And now they're over there, and because of that, as you said, that error, they are now over there just sitting on the sidelines. That must be so frustrating for those 12 athletes, including that Fijian.
Exactly right. I mean, you can only imagine the dedication, the hard work that goes into preparing for these events. I mean, stripping to make your weight, being able to make sure that you're physically fit and able to be able to be competitive as you jump into the ring, because as all athletes do, you're not just there to make up numbers, you're there to win. And so from all that hard work and preparation, only to come out here, get let down by not being able to be compete based on a technicality, I mean, that's hard to, that's so disappointing.
All right. Well, thank you both for filling us in on what's flying around the coconut wireless, Patricia and Leilani.
The NRL finals are here on Radio Australia.
Catches brilliantly, scores the try.
Gets the ball down in the corner
and scores the game-winning try into the post.
Hear them all with the best commentary team in the business.
Try of the year.
Launches, plants it down.
Oh, what an amazing finish.
Don't miss a minute of the NRL finals.
Rugby league, you beautiful thing.
Right here on ABC Radio Australia, your home of rugby league in the Pacific.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
All right, there's plenty of sport happening, not just in the boxing world. So let's find out what else is going down across the Pacific Islands. Patricia, what's caught your eye in PNG?
Yeah, so a lot's happening here in PNG. However, just yesterday, we saw the conclusion of the PNG Futsal League. Now, this is the first season of the Futsal League, and after 18 rounds, the competition concluded yesterday with Gulf Comoro Futsal Club coming out on top with 49 points, topping the competition, with Hekari United in second place and Corporate Futsal Club in third place. Now, after conclusion of the competition yesterday, PNG will be represented by Gulf Comoro to compete in the OFC Futsal Men's Champions League that's scheduled for Fiji in November, where Gulf Comoro will join five other best clubs from the region to battle for the title of the Futsal Champions League. Now, this will be the first time Papua New Guinea is represented at the OFC level to compete in the Futsal Champions League. We've never sent a team to compete. We're just starting out the Futsal League here in PNG, so that competition, like I said, concluded yesterday, and Gulf Comoro will be joining Suva FC from Fiji, Southern Legions from Vanuatu, Waikato Rapids from New Zealand, Matax FC from Solomon Islands, and ASPT from New Caledonia when they all meet in November for the OFC Futsal Men's Champions League. So huge competition here. After 18 rounds, we've seen Gulf Comoro. They're one of the big clubs here in PNG. they also have a team across the other leagues here in PNG, so their club will now represent PNG in the Champions League. It's history for the club as well as for PNG football, sending a first club to participate in the Champions League.
Huge news indeed. Hey, for people who haven't been to futsal, it is an amazing atmosphere. It's so intense and fast. What is it like in Papua New Guinea when you go to one of those local futsal matches?
Oh, it is. Yesterday, I stayed up watching the last round. So we had like five matches last night. So it finished around nine and it was epic. I tell you, like watching football, like regular football playing out in the pitch is different. Futsal, the pace is fast. Like every second the ball is moving and very intense. Like I feel like I would not last 2 minutes in there.
Yes, it is very intense and yeah, hectic on the fitness as well. Your cardio, it has to be next level. Patricia, how about from across the Pacific, what have you got for us?
Yeah, so from across the Pacific, I have been following the Women's T20 World Cup East Asia Pacific qualifier that's currently underway in Fiji. So there's two groups of four teams each. In Group A, you have Cook Islands, Fiji, Indonesia, and Vanuatu, while in Group B, Japan, Papua New Guinea, Philippines, and Samoa, who are competing for a spot to enter the global qualifier event for the ICC Women's T20 World Cup. Now, currently, Vanuatu has recorded two wins, Japan with two wins, and Papua New Guinea with two wins, while Indonesia, Samoa, and Fiji have won one match, respectively. Now, in Group A, Vanuatu is currently leading the pool, and for Group B, Papua New Guinea is leading the pool with Japan just behind them on net run rate. Now, the final round game is set for Friday. And after that, the top two teams in each group will advance to the playoff that's scheduled for Monday. And whoever wins the final will qualify for the global qualifier event, where they will compete against representatives from other regions for three spots to get into the ICC Women's T20 World Cup 2026. So a lot's at stake for not only for our women cricketers in the region, but as well as those in East Asia that are participating as well. So right now, Vanuatu and Papua New Guinea are the two strongest sides. They've dominated all their matches, so our best bet is with those two countries to see which of them can get past the Asians to get that spot to go to the global qualifier.
Oh, there's so much on the line over the next couple of days. I've seen as well, Mel Farah's been over there and I've been watching her Instagram stories. She's playing with the Vanuatu team. Rachel Andrew, her captain, Patricia, did you see that game? She got 85 not out and a hat-trick.
She is awesome. And I think she's just, she made history for her team. She's just the second player to score a hat-trick and 50 runs in the same match. And interestingly, the other player that achieved the same feat was her other teammate as well. I think a former teammate of hers. So it's history for not only for Rachel, but for Vanuatu and Pacific Cricket as well. I mean, achieving a feat like that, a hat-trick and over 50 runs in the same match, it's huge.
Yeah, massive. As you said, Vanuatu play Fiji tomorrow and Papua New Guinea play Samoa. Those are the two top teams. Do you think they'll most likely meet in the final, Papua New Guinea and Vanuatu?
Yeah, I'm betting on both of them to go to the final.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for that news, Patricia. Leilani, let's go to you. How about in Fiji? What would you like to share with us?
Well, for the local scene here in Fiji, I'm going to share a little bit about my experience as part of the Oceania Rugby Camp program here at the Rugby World Cup. So the Oceania Rugby Camp, which stands for Commentary and Mobile Journalism Program, or in short, CAMP, is this amazing initiative by Sheridan Graham Tupaea of Oceania Rugby and run in conjunction with the ABC International Development Team, consisting of Sally Eales and Aaron Kearney. Now, this has been a groundbreaking program offered to women, which is from right across the Pacific, giving them the opportunity to develop their skills in rugby commentary and, of course, content creation. And this was made possible, of course, due to Pacific Oz Sports and the support from World Rugby. Now, the journey to Rugby World Cup for me actually began back in April, where we were invited to come and participate in an online training component, which is then followed by a week-long in-person workshop in Fiji. And in Fiji, I was joined by a group of passionate Pacific women at the Oceania Rugby Championships, where we were given the opportunity to learn from some of the best in the business in terms of commentators as well as content creators. So this was a great program, really, to be able to upskill us and also work on our confidence to step out there on the world stage. And so from this pool of talented women, Harriet Tuara from the Cook Islands and myself from Fiji, we're so incredibly fortunate because we were selected to take part in the next phase, which is where I am at the moment, which is real world media coverage at the biggest event in women's rugby, aka the Rugby World Cup. And since arriving out here, it's been nothing but full on in the best possible way. For the first week, we joined the Grassroots of Global Conference and we've got to share our insights in rugby and media. And it's been such a great privilege to be able to capture the stories and provide coverage for over 70 grassroots women coaches from all around the world. And these women have been doing absolutely amazing work in their communities and also being given the chance to tell their inspiring stories with the world. So next up, we were able to dive straight into all the rugby action, which started off with the opening match with England facing off against the United States of America. Now, what an absolute cracker of a game to cover. From the fan activation to the final whistle, we got to be able to get there up close and personal to share the full experience with the audience online, showcasing not just the match and all of the amazing talented skill that was on full display out on the field, but the atmosphere, the culture, and of course, the people. But for me, honestly, Declan, the real highlight has been able to work together with our amazing Oceania teams from Fiji, Samoa, Australia, and of course, New Zealand, by getting the opportunity to go out and share their journeys, their insights, their stories digitally, and also be able to cheer them on through the digital platform as they take on the world's best. Now, in case you've been living under a rock and you haven't been keeping abreast of what's been happening on the World Cup scene, as a recap for our Oceania teams, we've had New Zealand and Australia that both finished within the top two of their pools and have progressed through to the quarterfinals this weekend. Samoa and Fiji were unfortunately not so lucky, with Samoa, whilst playing with heart, unable to secure a win, whereas Fiji did make history beating Wales for the first time ever in their final pool match and moved up in the ladder for the international rankings from 14th to 13th now. Now, personally, this journey has been nothing short but incredible for me. Just being out here at the Rugby World Cup has just been an amazing experience, and being able to actively contribute to the visibility and the voice of Pacific women in sports media has been a true blessing. It's been really powerful to witness the impact of our storytelling across the borders and cultures, bringing fans closer to all the action, and of course, amplifying the voices of our amazing Oceania teams and communities. So for me, as I mentioned, personally, I've grown so much, just not only as a commentator and a journalist, but also as a proud representative of the Pacific. So from pitch side reporting to interviewing coaches and players to producing digital content that celebrates our rich rugby culture, every moment has been just a reminder to me about how powerful the opportunity and representation is and how important it is. I'm truly grateful, of course, to Oceania Rugby, ABC International Development, Pacific Oz Sports, and World Rugby for believing in the potential of women in our region. And of course, a huge vanakavaka level to the mentors, the participants, and of course, the teams who really welcomed us with open arms. So as the tournament continues and the knockout stages start to heat up, well, I'll be doing my best to be able to share the stories and the passion and showcase the heart of Pacific rugby to the world.
Oh, I love that, Leilani. You're in such a unique position, given that you played, now you've been in commentary and administration and also working in the media, because people often forget, you know, the media and the fans, they help drive the game as well. Give us a quick snapshot of just how much confidence that'll give you and the other participants when they get to go back to their home country, whether it's Fiji, Samoa, wherever, that they've covered this huge event. They've been able to, like you say, be pitch side, and now they can go home and have that confidence and those extra skills to do it back in the Pacific.
You know, one of the things that we've always noticed, you know, especially Oceaneers, sometimes our women are a little bit not so confident to be able to step up into the media scene, especially when it is a male-dominated sport like rugby. Mm. But hands down, from coming off this experience here in the world's biggest platform, the world's biggest stage for rugby at Rugby World Cup, I'm sure that each and every one of us, as we head back into our region, we are just going to be brimming with confidence. We'll be saying, bring on the challenges, give us our commentary opportunities, because we are going to hit the ground running. Just bring it on.
Absolutely. Well, you know, if you listen to Fresh Off the Field, people listening right now would go, wow, there are women on this show every single week. People like yourself, Patricia, we've got Jamie, we've got Finau, Cynthia. We've got so many co-hosts from across the region who just have so much skill and so much to say on sport. So it's great that you've been able to have that experience in the UK. What about across the Pacific? Leilani, what have you got for us?
All right. So across the Pacific, every 2 years, some of the Pacific's best squash players step out onto the court for the Oceaneer Close Squash Championship. And this year, it's Samoa's turn to host all of the action. With the 2025 edition set to kick off just around the corner on the 22nd of September in Apia, Team PNG is getting ready to make their mark. Six of PNG's top squash athletes have already been named for the championship, and they're definitely one of the teams that you should be keeping your eye out for. In Port Moresby, we've got Joshua Porter, Fenora Singa-Uru, and Amiti Alcross, who are all working really hard to prepare for the upcoming tournament. For Amiti, this tournament carries a little bit more extra weight. She is actually PNG's top-ranked women's player, and she has been ever since she was only 15 years of age. Wow. She is now 21, and she is still holding on to that title, but she's obviously taking her game up to the next level. As she heads across to the Oceaneer Championships, the last time she competed in the Oceaneer Championships in 2022, she was actually placed third overall in the region, and she's been chasing ever since that elusive top spot. So as of June, she also made a mark in Australia, where she is currently ranked 33rd in the women's combined national rankings. And just imagine, 21 years of age, and she's already ranked 33rd in the national rankings in Australia. It's such a remarkable feat for someone still so young. Now, joining Amity and Apia will, of course, be her overseas-based teammates, which is Chris Whitchurch, Troy Singa-Uru, and Timona Krybish. Now, apart from PNG, Tahiti, New Caledonia, and of course the host nation of Samoa are expected to bring some serious competition. As we all know, Samoa has been particularly strong in this in previous years, and they also have got several players who have already proved themselves on an international stage and regularly competing at the Pacific Games. However, for PNG, this championship is more than just about medals. It's a really an opportunity and a key step for their athletes along the path to the 2027 Pacific Games in Tahiti. So as the countdown to Apia begins, there's plenty to look forward to on the squash courts. Can I do that last line again?
Of course.
Sorry.
Of course.
Yep. So as the countdown to Apia begins, there's plenty to look forward to on the squash courts.
Oh, amazing, Leilani. Thank you for keeping us across so much sport. Patricia as well, thank you. It is great to hear about all the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands.
The Pacific, it's our home and what connects us all.
Thousands of islands, all with a unique story to tell.
Hi, I'm Alice Lolo here.
And I'm Johnson Ida.
Join us every week to watch The Pacific.
And hear from dedicated journalists throughout the region, bringing those stories home to you.
All the latest from the places we love.
The Pacific.
Because what matters here matters everywhere.
Watch Thursdays on ABC Australia.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
All right, off the back of so much sports news, let's have a bit of fun and get to know our co-hosts a little bit more. These two are pros at Garmin Stapwe, which is Tok Pisin for Pick the Lie. Each of our co-hosts will tell us a few things about themselves. Two will be true, one will be a lie, and the other two, me and whoever else isn't doing it, we will try to Garmin Stapwe. Patricia, we've heard from you across plenty of episodes. What are you going to serve us up today for your two truths and one lie?
Yeah, honestly, you guys, I'm running out of lies to tell. Like, yeah. The last show we had here in PNG, I had to improvise, like, in just 5 minutes, and Sam wasn't too happy about that.
All right, we'll give it a crack today.
Okay, so here we go. I have 3 trips coming up. 2 are true, and 1 is the lie.
Mm-hmm.
So my first trip is to Manus in 2 weeks' time. I'm going to Manus province.
Okay.
The second trip is to Fiji for the Futsal Champions League. And the third trip is to Cook Islands for the OFC Under-19 Women's Championship.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to 2 of those places, and 1 is the lie.
Okay, so Manus, Fiji, and Cook Islands. Leilani, which way are you leaning for this? They all seem plausible.
I know, they do. I don't know. I think she's just really good at this game now as well. So it's hard to choose when she's lying. Yep. But, you know, I'm just going to go with the first one, Manus, because I just love the way that it sounds. So let's go with that one.
Okay, yeah. Well, look, the interesting thing is Patricia gave reasons for the other ones, but not for Manus. She said it was futsal in Fiji and OFC Under-19 in Cook Islands. So I reckon you're on the money, Leilani. I'm going to stick with you and go Manus as well. Patricia, how did we go?
Sorry to burst your bubble, but you both got it wrong.
No.
I'm going to Manus.
Oh, no.
Oh, so which is the lie?
So the lie is Fiji. I am not going to Fiji for the Champions League, the Futsal Champions League, unfortunately. But I am going to Cook Islands for the OFC Under-19 Women's Championship. And I'm going to Manus in 2 weeks' time. We're running a coaching clinic for some schools and some kids there. So I'm traveling to Manus.
Bugger. All right. You got us, Leilani. Let's see if you can do the same. Give us your 2 truths and 1 lie for Guillaume and Stopway.
All right. You know, kind of like Patricia, I'm kind of getting at the bottom of the barrel for my 2 truths and 1 lie. And I think it's simply because you guys, we've played this game a few times. And I think that you guys know me quite well, either if you're sitting in the background listening, Declan, or, you know, playing against me, Patricia. So I'm going to go with a movie-themed Gown Stopwear today. So
nice.
My 3 movies that I love to watch, and you've got to tell which one is the lie. I love watching Harry Potter. I love watching Lord of the Rings, and I love watching Warcraft. Which one is the lie?
Oh, wow. Okay. Which movie does Leilani not love? Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, or Warcraft? Patricia, are you leaning
I'm,
one way?
I'm going to go with Warcraft.
Oh, that's what I was going to go that
I think
as
that's
well.
A lie,
what? Why?
Who doesn't love Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was going to do, but it didn't work for us last time. I went the same as Leilani and you got us both. So maybe I should split our chances because I think everyone has to like Harry Potter. You can't not like Harry Potter. So I'll go Lord of the Rings. We'll give ourselves 2 shot, Patricia, of Guillaume and Stopway. Leilani, send us the good or bad news.
Declan, you should have went with the gut feeling. It's Warcraft.
Of course it is. Everyone likes Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, right?
I know. And I was trying to do a similar movie, and I looked up and I was like, what is a similar movie to the other two? And it was Warcraft. So, yeah, don't like Warcraft. Watched it. Didn't really like it.
Damn,
but so, the other two, for sure, I can watch them over and over and over again.
Tell me about it. Patricia. I have the books as well.
Yes. Yeah. Have you read Lord of the Rings? I mean, that's a huge book to read, or several books.
Yeah, I think I read it 3 times.
Wow.
Whoa.
3 times. Is that before you had a baby, I'm guessing? You don't have time to do that now.
Yeah, before. Everything was before.
All right. Well, thanks for playing. We learn something new every week.
50 years ago, Papua New Guinea became an independent nation. In a joint NBC and ABC Radio Australia production, One Country takes you back to that defining moment in history. Meet those who witnessed the birth of a nation and hear how the spirit of independence continues to shape Papua New Guinea today. From tradition to transformation, don't miss One Country, Tuesday at 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Okay, it's time to chat to some of the talented people in the Pacific, as well as hearing about all the sports news and the results. We love hearing from the people involved in the game across the Pacific. Patricia, who did you chat to this week?
So this week I had a chance to speak to the general manager for Hekari PNG FC. I spoke to him about their journey in getting into the OFC Pro League, and I asked him what it means for Hekari to be part of the very first OFC Pro League season.
Oh man, it's a history. I think it means a lot. Not only to me, but I think to Wonnie and John for almost 23 years now, being in the football, and this is their dream of one day not only Hekari make it, but those players who are part of Hekari and the ones we'll select to join Hekari, and going into Pro League means a lot. All the hard work now pays also.
How did you feel, you know, being a team manager now, and you know, when OFC made the announcement and you saw that Hekari made the cut?
It's like a relief. Oh, because it's not easy applying. The application requirements and criteria for those two phase, one foundation entity. So OFC asked, hey, Hekari, you guys going to provide a contact guy so he can work on those applications, and starting January this year until late March, we submit first foundational entity, and then club licensing from April to July we submit, and when we got the result from August last month, it was a relief for me. Like, to me, I want to make history for myself too. 5 years time, when I look back, or 10 years time, if I'm not in the football again, or I'm somewhere, I said, one day I work on those documents, and with help of others, Hekari became a professional club. So it means a lot to me.
Now with, you know, Hekari going into play in the Pro League now, what kind of opportunities do you think this competition, the Pro League, will open up for our Papua New Guinea players?
That's a good one, because it exposed them now. Like now we are semi-pro. No professional club in the world wants a semi-pro player. They want a professional player. And if you are in the pro team, you are professional now, and the world is watching now. So it's a good exposure for them, I think for the players. And also, whoever make it to the team will tell them, hey, you're a pro player now. It's a good experience for you. It's a exposure for you. And if you perform, hey, one of the European club might want you to go. Who knows? Maybe it's just an example. Maybe Manchester United or City wants you. So I think it's a good pathway, not for only Papua New Guinea, but the island nation.
Like you mentioned, you know, it's the first time for any of our clubs in PNG to compete in a professional league, giving opportunity to players. And with that opportunity comes challenges as well. So, you know, what are some, you know, some challenges that, you know, you will expect along the way as you prepare for kickoff?
I think one challenge is players themselves. No, they're not amateur. They're not going to be casual around. It's now everything is a routine now for them. So, like, I'm the GM now. Every time counts. So it's like, hey, no free time for me for 6 months. Now it's a routine for the players. It's going to be tough because, you know, PNG, we're casual around, and so it's going to be discipline and commitment, responsibilities. It's going to be tough for them, but it's also a good experience for them. And I think another challenge is playing at that high level. And because of the format, 3 games in a second, so it's going to be tough.
How do you think Hekari's participation in the Pro League will impact, you know, football here in PNG, the effect that it will have on our local competition, and even right down to, you know, young kids starting to play football?
I think one thing good about Hekari, maybe other club as well, but I came as a player playing for Hekari, and now I'm in the management. The player on a mission is to develop that kids, and we did it in a school of excellence way, and now we extend, become a career football academy, we extend it to other provinces, and here, because of the business, we're trying to get the feel and stuff like that. That's why it's only in Port Moresby. But I think it's going to change the mindset of those generation. And they're the one who going to, I think they're the key players for this Pro League. Like right now, those guys, like, they're not there yet, but they'll just go in. They might break through. But if you see the motivation coming down to those young people, you see our under 16, they perform. So these are the next Pro League players. And I think one time I told them, hey, you guys are next. When I was applying for that, I told them, you guys might break through. Those people was not. Those guys who make it might not last, but you guys are going to last. And one of our application is a social campaign. Now Pro League, we were established, reach out to communities, spread the word out, help out, motivate people, also try to create fan base to bring interest.
The NRL finals are here on Radio Australia.
Catches Brendan Lee, scores the try.
Gets the ball down in the corner
and scores the game-winning try under the post.
Hear them all with the best commentary team in the business.
Try of the year.
Launches, plants it down.
Oh, what an amazing finish.
Don't miss a minute of the NRL finals.
Rugby League, you beautiful thing.
Right here on ABC Radio Australia, your home of rugby league in the Pacific.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Thank you so much, Patricia. Leilani, how about you this week? I'm guessing we're going rugby. Who did you catch up with?
You guessed right. And of course, I have caught up with Patila Tawake. She is the assistant captain for the Fijiana women's rugby team playing here at the Rugby World Cup. And I had a bit of a chat to her about how proud she was of the girls after their performance against Wales.
Just so, so proud of them. And the last few minutes just showed how much they really wanted it. And this week we've just been, our aim for us is just finishing on a high. And that's what we did. And I'm so proud of the girls. We gave them hell this week through training and just shows what they did in the last minute.
Now, you weren't on the field today due to your suspension, but we saw you there supporting from the sidelines every step of the way. What was it like for you in such a high stakes game to be have to be on there on the sidelines?
Honestly, just through the week, The girls, they didn't play. Like, our aim for this week was just to give the best for the team this week. And it mattered from the little things, like during training and giving whatever way that we can give to contribute to the, to today's game. And, yeah, it just showed out in the field. And, I'm just so, so proud of them.
And from your point of view, what do you think the team did really well out there today? And what got them over the line against Wales?
Honestly, our work-ons was just execution of plays. Our set plays from scrums and lineouts, even in our gender play, when we play our style of rugby, it's like it's a weapon to us. And as you can see, we scored off most of our tries from it. So we're really dangerous with the ball. And that's one thing the girls always needed to recognize more in our games. But again, just so proud of them. And the outcome just showed in today's game.
And tell us, didn't it? So the team has definitely shown some real resilience out there. They bounced back after two losses. As one of the team leaders, what helped the group stay together and also help them to keep pushing through coming into this game?
For us, this week, the leadership group just wanted to drive the team this week. We talked about giving our best because this was our last week in England. And again today, we were talking about emptying our tanks. And we really did empty the tanks. Even though we weren't playing, we were the 16th. Person on the in the crowd, and even though we weren't there physically on the field, we were there with them. Like, they carry a piece of us too on the field, and they played for us and played for our families back at home, and just really proud of them.
Now, off the field, you've been such a powerful voice as well, defending the team when they were heavily criticised online. What made you speak out in the first instance, and what was your message to those people that have targeted your teammates?
For the past few years, like, we've stood back and just, like, brushed it off. But it's at a point of time, like, you just can't be keep letting them run over you. So I felt like that was the perfect time for myself to stand up for my teammates and show that I have their back. And it was not the old players that were targeted. It was the new players. And mentally, they get defeated easily at a world stage like this. And just one thing to show to my teammates, that I have them their back no matter what.
Now, what a roller coaster this campaign has been. First of all, the cyberbullying online, and then of course the heavy defeat to Canada. You had that improvement coming through against Scotland, and then this amazing win today. How would you sum up Fiji's World Cup campaign?
Just a big growth and improvement from the last World Cup, and we haven't had like a consistent core group, but I just love how the girls keep giving in so much throughout those years that we've been playing. And there's injections of new players, but they took up the challenge to be here today, and I'm just really proud of them. Yeah, just like lost the words after today's win. Just shows how much we really wanted it, and we can be at this level too. So the more games we have here in the Northern Hemisphere, the more improvement we will get in the next few years to come.
And what do you think this campaign has showed the world about Fijian women's rugby? And where do you think the team can go through from here?
From here on, I think there's a brighter future for women's rugby in Fiji. And if we get more Northern Hemisphere tests with us and our experiences coming in, we can be top 10 in the world, or we can be top 6 or top 5. But just more belief and building a core group of players through the next World Cup will definitely help us.
And let's look at you. You know, you've been with the Fiji team for a number of years now, also captained the team with the Drua. What's next for you?
For myself? Honestly, after this World Cup's unfortunate recent happenings, definitely going for another World Cup. And I'm really excited to build women's rugby again in Fiji. It's a challenge, but it's a challenge that we all take on.
Now, you know, obviously there was a heavy force of Wales supporters out in the crowd, but there was a very passionate vocal bunch of Fijian supporters that kind of drowned out the Wales supporters out there. What would be your message to them?
Even though there was not a lot of Fijian supporters, we were overpowered by the Welsh supporters. You know, something that we're really good at is cheering at our hearts. So I felt the girls really heard us, and they felt us too. You know, if you put a group of Fijians together, even though they're little in number, but when they cheer with heart and passion, and they just showed today.
And for all of your fans that have been backing the Fijiana team every step of the way, what's your message to them?
Just a big thank you, honestly, to our families, our day one supporters. We've had rough times, but also the women in sports in Fiji that had backed us during those tough times. Just want to say we see you, and we want to thank you for being there with us during those rough times. Honestly, this World Cup has been the best World Cup for all of us in the team, and we see the difference that we went through the last World Cup, and now just shows that we're growing, and we're still going to go with that.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Thank you so much, Leilani. We heard from Batila just there about the online bullying that they copped. Now, you are over there. You have seen the girls and how they reacted. How much did that hate from back in Fiji really take a toll on them?
You know, I think people fail to realize the impact when you actually are making comments on social media has on our athletes. And, you know, sometimes, especially when you have the younger players who aren't used to that kind of backlash, it can be quite damaging to them. But, you know, it was really great to see how the team really binded together and used that negativity as a fire to motivate them and to push them through, to prove others wrong and what they're saying about the team, and also to help them get across that line and win against Wales. So I loved how they turned a negative into a positive, and in all honesty, Fijiana, keep on soaring.
You captained your country, Leilani, but the game has, you know, keeps getting bigger. There's more eyes on it around the world and in Fiji. Did you have any experiences of hate and online bullying when you were playing, or is it really ramped up from what you can see over the last few years?
Well, you know, yes, I did experience it when I was as the captain of the Fiji team as well. And I think it's just one of those things that come part and parcel of being in the public eye, that at the end of the day, everyone's got an opinion and, you know, people are going to talk, whether it's positive or negative. I think it's just about choosing what is going to impact you and just brushing off the stuff that doesn't even matter, that's not going to be positive with you and your journey. So, yes, it is ramping up with more people coming up onto the digital platform and more followers all around the world and whatnot. But, hey, these things happen. Let it be water off a duck's back, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, they used it to fuel them for that final game, that win over Wales. Hey, what were the celebrations like after that victory?
It was amazing. You know, one of my favorite moments, and I talked about the win earlier in the conversation, but one of my favorite moments was just watching the reaction of the support team in terms of the coaching, the managers, the coach team, the managers, you know, everyone that's worked so tirelessly, the team behind the team, and just seeing how much it meant to them to that the girls were able to really display their Fijian flair and that style of rugby that we've all been looking forward to seeing, and just seeing the impact that it had onto them, it was truly special.
And last one, Leilani, who do you think is going to take out the whole World Cup?
Ooh, you know what? I think England, they are looking really strong out there. And just in terms of each and every game, the consistency, the level of skill that they're executing out there, I think Canada and also New Zealand will have a big, big battle to be able to try and take them down.
What have you got on the next week or so? Are you staying around for the finals or are you headed back to Fiji?
I am here right through till looks like the end of October. So wow. I'm going to be here for the finals. I've got a couple of different things like happening with the Capgemini Women in Rugby program and World Rugby Summit. So yeah, I'll be here in town. Maybe when I come back onto the show next time, I might have a bit of an English accent. Who knows?
Living it up. Well, hopefully you aren't too cold over there as well. Always a shock to the system. Thank you, Leilani and Patricia, for those amazing chats. And before we finish up today, as per usual, Sammy's not here, but I'm playing Quizmaster and let's test your knowledge of sport in the Pacific.
Fresh off the dome.
Every week I'll ask three questions. Patricia and Leilani are my contestants. They'll use their name as their buzzer if they think they know the answer. Leilani got us... Oh, no, actually, Patricia got Leilani, didn't you, in Guillaume and Stopware. So maybe this is a chance for a bit of revenge for us, Leilani. You can try get Patricia here.
Chance for redemption there.
That's what we like. Three quiz questions. Let's see who comes out on top on Fresh Off the Dome. Question number one. Earlier this week, it was announced that Tonga and Uruguay have secured their spots in the Men's 2027 Rugby World Cup. Now, this question is closest to, okay, Leilani and Patricia, there's been 10 Men's World Cups so far. How many of those 10 have Tonga competed in?
Ooh, I'm just going to throw it out, Leilani. I'll say 5. I'll go halfway.
Okay, 5. Good guess. Patricia, where do you want to guess?
I'm going to go with 3.
3 out of 10.
You've got a wild guess.
Wow. You've both underestimated Tonga. They have banked at 9 out of the 10 World Cups so far.
Oh, wow. That's so good. Well, apologies, Tonga. That is amazing. Congrats.
But Leilani, you get the point. You were closest too. So 1 point to Leilani as we head towards question 2. Cook Island sprinter Estelle Short is getting ready to compete in the women's 100 metres as the World Athletics Championships take place on the weekend. Now, the question is, which Asian country is hosting the World Athletics Championships this weekend?
Patricia.
Oh, in early. Patricia, you're confident. What do you think it is?
It is in Tokyo, Japan.
Oh, well done. Look at us getting to the third question. One apiece. You are on fire. Okay, this is multiple choice, so we'll get a winner here. Samoan WNBA player Alyssa Pili will be heading to Australia next year. She will play in the 2026 WNBL. What team will she play for? I'm going to give you 3 options. Is it A, the Geelong Venom, B, the Sydney Flames, or C, the Townsville Fire?
Patricia.
Patricia, for the win, what are you going to say?
Geelong Venom.
She's got it! Patricia, the comeback win!
Congrats, Patricia.
I watched her TikTok last night, so that was fresh in my head.
Oh, that's coincidental. Okay, so TikTok serving it up for you and serving you the win. And you won in Gelman Stupway as well. This has been a good episode for you, Patricia. It does bring us to the end of our show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, the double winner today, the PNG Journo and Media Manager for PNG Football, Patricia Chiamo.
Thank you so much, Declan and Leilani. This was fun.
Thank you, Tru. And thank you to my other co-host live from the UK, the Women's World Cup, former Fijiana player. Now, let's call her a media mogul, Leilani Burns. Vinaka Vakalevu.
Hey, Vinaka Vakalevu. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Patricia.
And thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. Sam will be back next week, never fear, and we'll have two new co-hosts to talk all things sport in our region. This episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.